We ought to honor the Word of God. I believe we ought to always honor the Bible. So I want you to turn, put your finger there, then we're going to stand. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel, and we're going to read in chapter 14. And here's the first hippie in the Bible. The Bible said his hair was so long they pulled it every year and weighed it, you know. But, you know, Brother Sam has already said something about that. So in 2 Samuel chapter 14, I want you to turn and put your hand or finger there, and then we're going to stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. And then I'm going to bring you the message I preached, and I trust you'll hear the call of God tonight. I trust that not only you hear it, but you'll heed it. You know, a lot of people hear the call of God and don't heed it. I'm glad I heard it, and I heeded the call of God. 2 Samuel chapter 14. You have it now? You found it? All right, let's everybody stand, please, all over the house for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 14. For time's sake tonight, I'm going to begin reading with verse 28. I'm going to read down through about verse 31. And then I'm going to bring you the message about an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And I trust tonight that you'll pray as God speaks to people's hearts. The Bible said in verse 29, or let's read verse 28, begin reading with verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. It's a tragedy that a man would stay 2 years without seeing the king's face. Reminds me of some of these Baptists. They don't want to see the Lord but about once a month. Amen? Or Easter or Christmas, but you ought to want to see him every day. You ought to get up in the morning wanting to see the Lord. And the Bible said Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have him sent to the king. But he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore, he said unto his servants, see Joab's field, it is near mine. He hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Now notice what happened. He said, go down there and get that barley field to blazing. And all you got to do, set his field on fire, and you watch what happens. Now notice the next verse. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom and to his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? In other words, he came, if you look this way, we'll let you be seated in just a moment. He ran, and he said, hey, why did you set my barley field on fire? He said, I called you once, and you wouldn't come. I called you twice, and you wouldn't come. And I knew you had a barley field, a barley patch, and you loved it more than life itself. And when we set that barley field on fire, I knew that you'd come running. I want you to be seated and bow your head all over the house, every head bowed, every eye closed, and in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight on if God sets your barley field on fire. Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing. We thank you for the sweet spirit of the Lord. We thank you for this church and Brother Sammy. We thank you for the great camp that you've given them and the blessings, God, you blessed them with. Now we come tonight after the good singing. Lord, thank you for the trio. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for these preachers who have taken time out of their busy schedules. Oh, God, to be in the service to come tonight to Concord. Then I thank you for every mother, every dad, every son, and every daughter. And oh, God, tonight may they see Jesus. Oh Lord, may tonight this be an unusual service. May it be a time, our Father, when every heart, every soul shall be blessed of the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the subject when God sets your barley field on fire. Now you say, preacher, that's always a message that grips people. That's right. But I believe every person in this house has a barley field. Now you say, preacher, I don't have one. Well, wait a minute. You don't know whether you have one or not. This story is about Joab. Have you ever read about Joab? He was a general in David's army for 30 years. Joab heard him play the harp. Joab heard old David pray. Joab saw the man of God. And yet, my friend, he did not come. Did you know it's amazing to me that people can live in North Georgia. People can live in America. People can live around preaching and not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I'm so glad when I heard it. Thank God I came to Jesus, and the Lord saved me by His grace. What a blessing that is. But you say, what about Joab? Joab had something that was his heartstring. He had something, my friend, that was dearer than life itself. He had something that was the apple of his eye. And you know where it was? Out there in front of his house or hard by his palace. And at night he'd walk out in the sun or the moonlight and say, that's my barbecue. I love it with all of my heart. And it was something that stood between him and the king. And tonight, every person in this house has got a barley field. It may be your child. It may be your job. It may be your health. But every person in this house has got a barley field. And you say, well, preacher, what am I going to do? If you do not hear the call of God, God could set your barley field on fire. And there are two things I want to say by introduction. First of all, if God ever sets it on fire, it's too late to put it out then. You'll stand there with tears and watch her burn to the ground. I've had people to come up to me after I preached the sermon and said, preacher, my barley field is already burned to the ground. I said, I'm too late. I'm too late. The barley field is already burned. And I'm sure that there are 30 or 40 or 50 people here in the house tonight, and you can say that God already set your barley field on fire. But I want to show you three things tonight, and then I'll let you go home. Number one, there's the great call. Number two, there's the great refusal. Number three, there's the great price that you have to pay when you reject the call of God. Right. And somebody said, preacher, does God call ever since he said, Adam, where art thou? Until he said, and the spirit and the bride say, come. God's been calling man. God's been pleading with man. Did you know the little word come is found over 600 times in this Bible? It says, come if you're hungry and dress God you can eat. Come if you're thirsty and I'll give you a drink. Come if you're tired and I'll give you rest. And I'm glad that God is calling and has been calling. And you say, preacher, what about that great call? Now tonight I know that some of you disagree with me, but if I went to my home tonight and the telephone rang and they'd say, just a minute, President Carter wants to speak to you, our President, ex-President Ford, why, you'd say, wow, that's an honor. Let me tell you something 10,000 times better. Every once in a while, God calls me on that heavenly telephone, and the Holy Ghost said, pick up the phone. And when I pick up the phone, said, just a moment, you're connected into the throne. And I want to say that's the greatest call that a man has ever had. No man has ever had a greater call than the call of God Almighty. When God, who flung out the stars, when God, who created this world, it's time out to call you, mister. That's the greatest call that you'll ever have for time and for eternity. And I could mention many ways that God calls, but let me mention four real quickly. There are four paramount ways that God gives this great call. The first way, he calls through preaching. And that's why I believe that it ought to be preached. I like singing, but God didn't choose singing. He chose the foolishness of preaching, the sandals that believe. And brother, it's a preaching that's going to get the job done. Let me say this to you. Do you know what America needs tonight? She needs about 6 months of hellfire and damnation preaching. Bless God, we need some preaching. We need to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. We need to preach it when we feel like it and preach it when we don't feel like it. Brother, we need to preach it to the rich and preach it to the poor. I'd rather be an old-fashioned preacher than anything in this world tonight. I think it's the highest office that a man can have. I feel like old Moses when God spoke to him in that bush and said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes for the place where you stand. Oh, it's holy ground. But God calls through preaching. And we need to recognize that some churches believe God calls through organization and gimmicks
and cooperative programs and independentism. And some of you think all that, but let me tell you something. God's still calling man through the preaching of the Word of God. I thank God for that great call. I've been with Brother Guy Ringwater, I think, 21 years. I missed him last year, got mixed up in my dates. I never forget, I was preaching in his church one night, and a lady came down, and she said, "Brother Means, I got a boy from Georgia Tech here, and said he doesn't like preaching. Said he doesn't believe in the Bible. And said he wanted to come hear you preach." I said, "Sister, you sit him back there. I'll preach to him. He'll either get in, get out, or get run over one." I said, "Bless God, when you take this old bulldozer and begin to preach that word, and begin to grab up the stumps, and begin to preach the Word of God," I said, "he'll do something." And every night, she brought him there, and he'd sit there about where Brother Joe sits, and he'd shake his head while I was a preacher. And I'd go, "Whether you believe it, bless God, or don't believe it, I believe it, hallelujah." And he'd sit there and shake his head. But on Saturday night, I said to Fred C. Maples, who was leading the singing, I said, "Fred, what are we going to sing?" He said, "Brother Mays, we're going to sing Just As I Am. Without one plea, old Lamb of God, I come." And when everybody stood, that old boy threw that little yellow notebook up in the air and ran down, grabbed Brother Guy Ringwater around the neck. And he said, "I can't stand that preaching. It's fine. It got to me, hallelujah." And boy, he got saved. I want to tell you, I'm so glad tonight that God calls through preaching. The second way God calls, he calls through the precious Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Spirit will not come. The Comforter will not come. But he said, if I go away, I will send another. And when he is come, he'll convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment." And brother, let me say this, the Holy Spirit has to do a work before you're saved, and then he has to do a work after you're saved. Glory to God, I like that. He convicted me, he constrained me, he converted me, and then glory to God, after I got saved, he filled me, he teaches me, he comforts me, he leads me, he blesses me. He's the sweet Holy Spirit tonight, and we need to recognize that no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draw that man. I used to preach up where this brother's a member, and was in the old church years ago. I never will forget it. And I was in a meeting there, and one night I got through preaching at Brightwood Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. In the old church. And as a young boy standing in the back there, was seeing his holding, his knuckles were purple, and he wouldn't come. And I stopped Brother Ham. He's leading singing. I like that. That's better than pork chops. Amen. There. Amen. Praise God. Brother Ham was a song leader. And I said, "Brother Ham, wait a minute." I said, "There's a young man back under. God's dealing with him. I mean, he's biting his lip." And God was really speaking of that man in Brightwood. And that man shout out of that house and out of Brightwood Baptist Church and went home. I went down to Holiday Inn North there on 29, and I had prayer, read the scripture, got in bed. Have you ever been in a room and it dark and the telephone ring and you couldn't find the light, you couldn't find the telephone? That's bad. That's embarrassing. And boy, I was there about 2 o'clock that morning, or 1:45, and the phone rang, and I was reaching out there trying to find it. I couldn't find it, and couldn't find the light switch. Finally, I found it, and I said, "Hello!" And a voice on the other end said, I just put my hand over it and said, "Choke him good, choke him good, choke him good. Holy Ghost, choke him good." Somebody said, "What was the matter?" I knew who that was. Is that boy that shot out of there, that young man, and the Holy Ghost about to choke him to death. And I said, "Yes, can I help you?" He said, "Brother Mays, I'm dying." I said, "Make him think he's going to die. Brother, you'll never get saved until you think you're going to die. You'll never get saved, bless God, and you get to that place where you think that you're about to die." And I said, "Lord," and he said, he said, "Brother Mays, can I come?" I said, "You meet me at Brightwood Church." I said, "I've got a car they put here for me to drive. I'll meet you over there at Brightwood Church." And she said, "I hope I don't die before I get there." I thought, "Boy, I hope you Holy Ghost choke him all the way from where he lives over there." And when he came up, I was walking out in front of the church about 2:45. And the light there in front of old Brightwood Baptist Church in Greensboro was shining down. That boy jumped out of the car. The young man came up to me and said, I said, "Choke him, choke him, choke him, choke him. Bless God." I said, "That's the only way." And did you know, he ran up to me and he said, "Brother Mays, I'm dying. He said, I can't get into church. Can't wait till I get to the altar. I said, kneel right there. Praise God, you can get saved right there. And you know what he did? He fell down on that ground. He cried out, Lord, save me. And you know what God did? The Lord heard his cry, and the Lord saved him. And when the Lord saved him, he jumped up and said, And I said, what you talking about? He said, I'm not coughing. What happened? I said, you got some Holy Ghost cough, sir. Right down there, brother. Let me say this to you that are here tonight. The Holy Spirit calls through preaching. The Holy Spirit calls, secondly, through the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, God calls not only through preaching, and not only through the Holy Spirit, but thank God he calls through praying loved ones. Aren't you glad somebody got a hold of heaven for you? Bless God. But I'm so glad that somebody called my name in prayer and said, Lord, I'll let you go until you hear, until you answer prayer. Can't you see old Abram out yonder looking down at Sodom, and he held God's hands in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis and said, oh God, I got a nephew down there, and brother, God couldn't destroy him, and God couldn't keep a secret from Abram, because Abram was a friend of God and Abram was a praying man. Brother, we need some praying mothers. We need some praying daddies. We need some praying churches. And brother, when the church travails in holy prayer, God will do something. Now, let me give you this quickly. Brother Harold Smith's mother and dad were good friends of ours. Used to write us. And he'd come hear me preach all the time. But he told me about Harold's conversion. He said, you know, said Harold was a mean. He's a mean fellow. Said he graduated from Furman. And he's working over at the Greenville newspaper. And said he's running from God, cursing God, drinking liquor. And mean as the devil. But said he had a sister that said, I'll not let God loose until God saves my brother Harold. And she held on to God. She called him up and said, Harold, come over here to Poinsett Mill where I live. He said, I want to tell you something. Said, we're going to pray till you get saved. He said, you can pray all you want to. I'm not going to get saved. She said, well, I want to tell you something. Bless God, I'm just going to pray till you do get saved. And that got to bother him. He went down to the beer joint, got him a beer. And he went down there that night about 7 o'clock, slipped up on that little mill porch, knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, his sister said, come on in, Harold. I want to tell you something. Said, you see that sofa right there? Said, Dewey, my husband has said it'd be all right. He said, I'm going to get behind that sofa, and I'm going to pray, bless God, till you get saved, and I ain't going to eat a bite, and I'm not going to drink any water till you get saved. And Harold said, well, now, you can just pray all you want to, because I'm not going to get saved. And boy, she fell down behind that sofa. Harold said he went up town in Greenville, shot some pool, got to thinking about it. Well, she might pray till she kills herself. I'd better go down. But said, I imagine she's already gone to bed. And said, about 12 o'clock, he slipped down there, slipped up on the porch of that little mill house and said he never heard such praying in all of his life. Said that little old sister's in there behind that sofa saying, God, if you don't save him, I'll die, sure as the world. And said, he said, I won't be saved. And said, I went back uptown and said, Greenville, South Carolina. I pulled up the streets about 1 o'clock. There I was up there all alone. And he said, I found a little old pool room and jip joint open all night. I went down there and stayed till about 2 o'clock. And I said, surely she's gone to bed now. And he said, I slipped down there and slipped up on the porch. And I never heard such praying behind that couch. Have you ever heard? Oh, God save him. And he said, I went back up there and I met the milkman, the paper boy, and stayed there till 6 o'clock. And said, 6:30, I said, I'll go down there. She's got to cook Dewey's breakfast. Said she'll have to cook his breakfast. I know she's not praying, and I know for this time she's in bed, or she's cooking Dewey's breakfast. Said he went down there and said, God, it softened him up for the blow. I mean, said he crawled upon the porch and said he peeked in the door and said, Dewey had the apron on cooking his own breakfast, and said, bless God, she was just a calling on God and a praying. And he said, the first thing I knew, I slipped in and my sister put her arm around me and said, there, I met the Lord. And God saved me. Said there wasn't a preacher. I said, bless God, there's a praying sister. Let me say, God calls through preaching. God calls through the Holy Ghost. God calls through praying. Number four, quickly, God calls through providence. That means everyday happenings. Every day that you ride down the road, maybe there's something that happens, and God calls through providence. Some of you remember how that God called you when that wreck happened, and you saw a million worlds flash up. Some of you remember when you got that telephone call, and death was on the other end of that line. You say, Preacher Mays, what was that? That was providence calling. Several years ago, I went in a bookstore, and I picked up a book, and I threw it down. And you say, why'd you throw it down? It said, thank God for my heart attack. And I said, my, anybody's crazy, you'd thank God for a heart attack. I opened up the fly leaf of that book, and the man said, if it hadn't have been for my heart attack, I'd have been in hell. But thank God I had a heart attack. And a little old preacher came down the hall and brought me a track and prayed for me, and I got saved. Oh, he said, that's providence. Aren't you glad for the great call tonight? I'm glad. That's a great call. Number two. That's a great refusal. And he said he would not come. Can you imagine that servant going back down to the king and saying, that man called Joab said he wasn't coming? Can you imagine little puny man telling a great God, I will not come? That's sad. You say, preacher, who can refuse the call of God? Only two classes of people can refuse the call of God. The first is the Christian. God can call you to go somewhere, and you'll be stubborn and rebellious. God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach the bidding that I bid thee. And Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. I don't like those Ninevites. I'm going down to Joppa, and I'm going to get me a ticket going to Tarsus, and I'm going to wave goodbye to God. Let me say, if you're a Christian here tonight, you may tell God no, but there's a fish out yonder waiting on you. Brother, there's a storm out yonder, and you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you just go on, Christian. You just tell God you won't give him your life, and you won't consecrate your life, and you won't preach, and you won't be a missionary. Brother, you'll find out there'll be more whales, there'll be more fish than you ever thought about. Oh, Jonah said, no, I'm not going to hear the call of God to go to Nineveh. And God said, all right. And God prepared that fish. Don't you worry about that. Yes. Somebody said to me, don't you think it's a miracle, Brother Mays, that that fish swallowed Jonah? No. The miracle was he got out. Say amen right there. Bless God, if he'd have stayed in, he'd have been fish bait. Hallelujah. But oh, that fish got so sick after Jonah said, you know what Jonah said? Three things in that whale. He said, first of all, I'll pay my vow. He said, pass the collection plate, and I'll catch up on my tithe. Hallelujah. Oh, and listen to me, Jonah cried out for mercy, and Jonah said, I will turn again unto the Lord thy holy temple. And brother, sometimes God has to let us go down before, and you say, I'll not do it. I never will forget, you know, God called me to preach, and I used to be skinny, real skinny. And Dale, you're skinny now, but you're getting rich. And I went out, and I said, now God, I don't look like a preacher. And I don't sound, you know, I can't understand preachers. You call on to pray, and they change your voice. And you talk, some people testify, and they change their voice. Why don't you use the one God gave you? It's the best one you'll ever have. I mean, just use the one God gave you. Amen. But you know, I didn't want to preach. I said, Lord, I can't preach. I don't sound like a preacher. I said, every preacher I ever saw and ever heard had a big, deep bass voice. And I said, Lord, and the Lord said, you go ahead and knock the rafters off of that tenor you got there. And I said, well, Lord, you know what I did? And I took my daddy's old 34 Dodge, and it was pulled up out there between the church and the cemetery, and I forgot about the cemetery. I pulled up between that church, and I said, now, Lord, thank you. I'm glad you saved me. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm glad. My skin is real. I mean, little old boy, weighed about 140 pounds, 145 pounds. And I said, now, Lord, thank you. I'll teach a Sunday school class. I'll go to church, but no, thank you, Lord. I don't look like a preacher. I said, every preacher I ever saw is fat and bald-headed. Lord said, go ahead and start, and I'll accommodate you and give you both. Hallelujah. But I said, Lord, I can't do it. Now I reached over, and that old 34 Dodge had a crooked key. I never forget that thing. Crooked as some Baptists I've met along the way. Say amen like that. And I reached over and cut that key on. And I hadn't noticed. I noticed the Upper Baptist Church there, where I used to, that old country church. But I did not notice that cemetery. And I looked over there, and it looked like every tombstone was going, winking at me and saying, you don't have to preach, but we'll put you 10 feet under. And I said, Lord, I'm going to preach in the mark. Not now, praise God. I said, Lord, I'll preach now. And the best sermon I ever preached was to that that stern wheel going home. I mean, brother, I preached from Genesis to Revolutions. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, I said, God, I can't preach. And God said, all right, you don't have to, but I'll see you. And I said, Lord, I'll start preaching. And boy, I tell you, it's wonderful tonight. When God calls you to be a missionary, you'd better be a missionary. When God calls you to preach, you better be a preacher. When God calls you to teach a Sunday school class, brother, you'd better get into Sunday school class. Whatever God speaks to you about, you'd better answer the call of God. A Christian can say no, but he'll be sorry. Number two, a sinner can say no. Now, I know a lot of people say that's not so. Well, you explain this to me. My Bible says in Exodus 5 and verse 2, and Pharaoh said, no! Said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I don't know him. I'm not going to listen to God. He said, I said, tell God no. And there are a lot of people, brother, that's come up and down this country, and they've shaken their fist in God's face, and they said, we don't need you, God, and we'll tell you no. But I want to say to you, it's a great refusal. When a poor old sinner, because God holds your breath in his hand, God is the only one keeping you out of hell. And God is the only one sparing your life. Eternity is out yonder in front of you, sinner, and there's a burning blistering hell. And only God stands between you and that burning hell. You know, Brother Carl Smithwick, I got a letter from him today. He was warden down here at Fulton County Jail. For 32 years, one of the best friends I ever had is Carl Smithwick, a great friend of mine. But listen to me. I was down there one time, he called me. I went down there to the jail and said, won't you see somebody? And first of all, he took me up and said, old comedian Gregory. I don't like him kind of people. You say, well, Brother Mays, just because he's colored? No. If he raised the devil, I don't care whether he's white or what he is. If he's a rebel rouser, I don't like him. Say amen. Brother, it's time we take a stand for God. It's time we hold high the bloodstained banner and tell the people that God means for us to be under subjection to those that are in authority.
That's right.
And these rebel rousers and these that bring confusion. But I never will forget. Carl said, I want you to come up to isolation with me. And I walked up to isolation. I never will forget it. I walked up there and there's a man 54 years old. And sitting there, and he said, go on up there, Mays. But don't stick your hand in. You know, you're not supposed to stick your hand in there when they're wanted for what he's wanted for. And I walked up there, and before I thought, I said, fella, I'd like to shake your hand. And he got up and walked over and shook my hand. And Carl said, you know who that is, sir? He said, no! And Carl Smithwick said, that's Brother Mays Jackson, evangelist. And he said, evangelist, that man, tears came in his eyes. He said, preacher, I'm 54 years old. I want to tell you what happened to me when I was 22. And he said, wherever you go up and down America, I want you to tell people. He said, the other night, I shot two women. I killed them in cold blood. And he said, God stop me. But said, here's what I want to tell you. He said, when I was 22, I lived in between Marietta and Smyrna. He said, they wasn't grown up. They were apart. He said, I lived between Marietta, Georgia and Smyrna, Georgia. And he said, my little baby was dying. I was 22 years old. And he said, my wife was on the phone trying to get a doctor. And I was holding that little baby. My sister was standing there next to me trying. All I knew, God was telling me to stop. And he said, that baby died. Preacher Mays, he said, that baby died in my hands. And I heard God speak out of that baby's voice, our throat, and say, stop! Repent or you're going to burn in hell. And he said, you know what I did, Preacher Mays? I said, no, sir. What'd you do, sir? He said, I handed that dead baby to my sister. I ran out on the porch. My wife threw the phone down and said, where are you going, honey? He said, I'm running from God. My baby's dead. He said, I'm 54 years old. I'm going to the electric chair. He said, it's been 32 years ago. And he said, I've been running from God. But said, everywhere you go, preacher, I want you to tell people that God can stop them after a while. He said, Brother Mays, you tell them that God stopped me. Listen, I believe that a Christian can say no to God. I believe, my friend, that a sinner can say no, the great refusal. Let's come to the last thing tonight. There's the great price that you pay. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm going to tell God no tonight. Let me tell you something, friend. You're going to pay an awful price. You say, preacher, I'll run it my way. And you'll pay an awful price. There is a great price for the man that says no to the call of God. I could give you many things. Well, let me show you Joab. Joab was up there and had his sword. And he said, do you know he's a general? General Joab, for 30 years, in David's army. He put on his shining uniform, and that sword, and he'd walk out there. He'd say, that's my barley field. Oh, he said, some people go to church, and some people go to the temple of there. Some people play a harp, and some people talk about God. But I like to just look at that barley. Isn't that pretty? That's the nearest thing to my heart. That's what I live for. Let me ask you something tonight. What are you living for? What is your barley field? Yeah. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah. Here's Joab. He looks at it and he said, isn't it pretty? Someday, I'll take all of my time and spend with this barley field every year. It'll be my glory and it'll be my life and it'll be everything.
Yes,
but a knock came to his door. And a servant said, sir, the king wants to see you. He said, tell the king I can't come. He said, the king said for you to come. And you better leave that barley field and come. He said, can't do it. So the servant ran down and said to the king's son, hey, he wouldn't come. What do you want me to do? He said, go back one more time. Go back! Knock on that door again. And he ran back and knocked on that door the second time. And Joab said, I told you I'm stubborn and I'm not going. Man said, Doyle, that's all right. I'll tell the king. He'll know what to do. And he runs back and runs up the king. And the servant said, hey, king! He said he wasn't coming. Now, you'll have to do something. I couldn't get him to come. And the king said, you see that torch? And servant, you grab that torch right there. And you grab this torch. And you grab that torch. And you run out. And you run up there where he stands. Oh, and you watch him. He'll look over that barley field and he'll say, that's mine. But you slip around and set it on fire on this side. And you set it on fire right over there. And you set it on fire right over here. And you watch him. And I believe Joab was in his house. And I believe he's twisting his hands. And he said, you know, I've got a barley field that's more precious than life itself. And then he begins to smell the burning barley. He begins to hear the cracking of the barley. Then he sees the licking of the flames. And you know what he did when he saw the licking of the flames of that barley field? You know what he did when he heard the crackle of that barley? Brother, he threw that sword down, ran down to the king, and said, why did you set my barley field on fire? And here was the question. He said, I called you once, and you wouldn't come. I called you twice, and you wouldn't come. And oh, listen to me. And he said, you set my barley field on fire, and you burnt the best thing I had. And it's burning to the ground, and I've come, sir. And that humbled old Joab down. Are you listening to me tonight? Every soul in this house has got a barley field. And when God called you, he may be calling you for the last time tonight. And if you don't come, he may set your barley field on fire. Let me show you something. Years ago, God called me to be an evangelist. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to be an evangelist. And so I became an evangelist. I went out and had a tent. It was in the wintertime. And brother, I had to preach with a coat on. I mean, it was so cold down in Horse Creek Valley in Augusta, Georgia. I had to preach with an overcoat on. But you know how many people are out preaching tonight? I know of 11 preachers that got right with God and surrendered to preach in that one tent meeting. But I never will forget. I preached one night on If God Sets Your Barley Field on Fire 29 years ago. You say, you've been preaching that? That's right, 29 years. And when I got through preaching, I want to show you something. A good friend of mine came up and said, hey, Mace. I said, hey, Roy, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. But he said, I quit preaching. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, you know, I've just been a late preacher, but said, I quit. He said, I got mad at him up there at the adult Bible class at the church, and I ain't going to let him do me like that, and I'm quitting, and I ain't going to church, man. I said, listen, you'd better listen to me, Roy. I love you. And that little old boy standing there, Sonny, right beside him, he looked up and he said, Daddy, I want to go back to church. He said, you and your mama can go, but I'm not going. Now I looked him straight in the face and I said, Roy, God is going to burn your barley field. And right there he stands. And he reached down and put his arm around that little boy and said, Brother Mays, my wife can't have any other children. Don't you talk to me like that. I've loved you and I've followed you, Brother Mays. And I listened to you on WGAC here in Augusta, Georgia. Brother Mays, I love you. And I said, Roy, God's going to set your barley field on fire. He went on back up there. 7 months passed by. He got his job back and he was going strong. He was one of the boss men over there at the cotton mill, Horse Creek Valley. And then one afternoon he got out of the mill and came up there and sat down on the little porch. And as he sat on the porch, he was reading the Augusta Chronicle. And he had it up reading it. And his little boy came, a four-year-old boy, going on five. He said, Daddy! And Roy said, oh, Sonny, don't bother me. I'm tired. I've been working in the mill today. And the little boy looked up in tears. And he said, Daddy, I want you to come out and throw the ball with me. Daddy, you don't never come out here in the yard and just throw the ball with me. Roy said, I'm tired. I work today, and I don't feel like getting in no yard. And the little boy looked up and tears dropped down off of his little quivering chin. He said, Daddy, that ain't what I want. He said, I want you to go back to church with me. Daddy, I want you to pick up that Bible and read it like you used to, Daddy. Daddy, I want to hear you pray again. And old Roy looked at him and he said, I'll put clothes on you and clothes on your mother and y'all can go to church, but I'm not going. And said, leave me alone. And he pulled that Augusta Chronicle back over his face. That little boy threw that ball in the air and it bounced down over the lawn and down in a ditch and went over the Augusta Aiken Highway. And that little boy was running after that ball and Roy was reading the Augusta Chronicle and he heard the squeal of tires. Somebody put on brakes and two boys from Aiken, South Carolina were coming down 85 or 90 miles an hour. Roy said, I pushed that paper down maze just in time to see that car hit my boy and knock him 20 to 30 feet in the air. And he said, I cried, oh my God, there's my barley field. Oh, he said, I jumped over that rail of that fence there in that little house, that little mill house. I jumped over the porch rail and I jumped and ran across. My boy's lying in the ditch. And he said, Mays, it had been raining. And I picked up Sonny. He had blood and mud. And blood has come out of his ears, and blood has come out of his eyes, and blood has come out of his nose, and blood has come out of his mouth. And I knew he was dying. And I said, Sonny, what do you want Daddy to do? And he said, I want you to go to Sunday school with me. Daddy, I want you to go to Sunday school with me Sunday. He said, there are five little boys in my class, and I want you to go. And old Roy pulled that little bleeding boy up, dying boy, and said, Sonny, I'll go next Sunday and every Sunday. Oh, God! Don't let my barley field burn. They called an ambulance, and they got him an ambulance. Before they got to the hospital, he choked to death on his blood. That was Tuesday, Thursday. Roy went to the funeral, and it's about two blocks from his house. There's a cemetery. And they took him back, he and his wife, while he's covering a little boy's body up. And Roy slipped out with his Bible when she wasn't looking. But they were going down about an hour later, but just as soon as he got the little boy covered up in the flowers on, Roy slipped out and went two blocks down, went in the cemetery, took his Bible. He said he went out there, bowed down on those fresh flowers, marred his knees up and held his Bible up and started singing, where he leads me, I'll follow. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do, dear Lord. And his wife slipped up and snapped his picture. And I've got that picture. It's a haunting picture. It's a terrible picture. That was Thursday. Sunday, Roy went to church. And when Roy went to church Sunday, and they said, you can go to the Sunday school classes. Everybody in the church, that little church was crying down there in Horse Creek Valley, South Carolina. Roy slipped around, went downstairs, and a little lady said, Sonny's not with us this morning, Brother Roy. Roy said, where did Sonny sit? I promised him before he died I'd come to Sunday school this morning. She said, he's sat in that little chair over there, but we'll get you a big chair. Roy said, no, let me just lay my leg across the chair, lean over against the wall. I promised him before he died I'd come. Now I want him to look down and know that I kept my promise. Old Roy said, I leaned my leg over that little chair where my little boy had sat. And said, that teacher and five or four little boys cried. And he said, I could hear the barley field burn. Oh, he said, Mays, God set my barley field on fire. He said, I refused the call of God. And God set my barley field on fire. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You got a barley field, I don't know what it is. You got a barley field tonight, I don't know what it is. I want to tell you one thing, friend. God can set your barley field on fire. There's some people here tonight, you're running from God. Oh, there's some Christians here tonight. You're running from God. And God can set your barley field on fire. It's too late when you put your leg across a little chair and wonder if that little boy's up in heaven looking down and seeing Daddy keep his word. It's too late when they roll a coffin down this aisle and God said, that's your barley field. It's too late when God sets your barley field on fire. The barley field will burn. That heart string will go up. Oh, you listen tonight. God's speaking to a lot of people in this house. As sure as my name's Brother Mays. Heavenly Father, oh God, I don't know whose barley field is about to burn. I don't know that lady back there, God, that you're speaking to right now. Lord, I don't know that man back there that's trying to run from God. Lord, I don't know that young person that's, rebelled and said, I won't go with God. But Lord, that field, that barley field that they love so much. Oh God, when they see the licking of the flame and they hear the crackle of the barley. Oh God, then they'll come running. But I pray, oh God, that we stand in a moment. That everybody in this house has heard the call of God tonight. Regardless of what that need is. May they come running down here to this altar. Oh God, may they not turn away until the barley begins to burn. But may they come while the call of God, while the sweet Holy Spirit's trying to coach them and speak to them and move them and draw them and convict them, Lord. May they come running before it's too late, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Look this way. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing number 81, I believe the brother said. Just as I am without one plea, Brother Sam is going to stand here. I imagine there's 100 people in this house ought to be in this altar. I mean, God's called you tonight. You can run if you want to. You can say no if you want to. But God will set your barley field on fire. When that little baby's gone, when that health is gone, when that home is gone, when the most precious thing on earth is gone, it'll be too late. If God's calling you tonight, let's everybody stand. You come right on down here for prayer. Whatever it is, don't you run from God tonight. Don't you run from the call of God tonight. You know if God's calling you. Come quickly while we sing. All right. Sing Just As I Am. Come right on. You know. You know. You know tonight. Yes, come right on. Amen. That's right. You mind the Holy Ghost tonight. I tell you, I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid. I'd come running. Oh, if God sets your barley field on fire, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Don't run from God. Don't say no tonight. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Don't say no. Now I want you to bow your head just a moment. One lady's come. I want to tell you something, folks. God sets your barley field on fire. It'll be too late to come in as far as your barley field's concerned. I want you to do something for me tonight. I want Brother Sammy to count them. Then we're going to sing that next stanza. How many of you here tonight will say, Preacher, I know what it is for God to set your barley field on fire. Brother Mays, I know what it is to see the licking of the flame and hear the crackle of the barley. Because God set my barley field on fire. Hold up your hand. Let's see. All of you that's had your barley field set on fire. Hold it up and let's see them high. Hold them up tonight. I want it as a witness. I want Brother Sammy to count them. Then I'm going to give you the count tonight. I want you to hold them up there. All right. Hold them up just a moment. Hold them up just a moment. They know what it is to see the licking of the flame. They know what it is to hear the crackle of the barley. They know what it is. Now you can take your hand down. Brother Sammy says there's about 20 at least. That means 20 people in this house knows what I preached about being real in their own lives. I mean 20 people in this house at least know what it is to see the licking of the flame and the crackle of the barley. I want to ask you something tonight. How many of you tonight said, "Preacher, God spoke into my heart, and I want you to pray for me"? Hold up your hand. Let me see it high. Would you lift up your hand? God bless you. Lift it up high. Let me see it there. Let me see it. I want to pray for you. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. Is there another? Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there one more? All right. Let me ask you something. While our heads are bowed, I want to ask you two questions, and I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to ask you just two questions, and then we're going to sing another stanza. Would you give me judgment day honesty? I mean, would you give me judgment day honesty like you wish you'd have had when you stand before God? First of all, how many people said, "Brother Mays, I'm right with God. I've answered the call. And if I go out here tonight, I know that everything's well between my soul and the Savior." Preacher, I know that. Hold up your hand. Don't you lift it up. If you're running from God, don't you lift up that hand. Oh, don't you lift it up if there's something there. All right, thank you. Now take your hand down. I want to ask you one more question. Beloved, how many couldn't raise your hand then? You'd like to raise it and let me and Brother Sammy pray for you. Hold up your hand. Would you do it there? Just slip it up, Mom. Slip it up, Dad. We want to pray for you. Come on. Let me see your hand tonight. You say, "Preacher, God spoke to me. I couldn't raise my hand. I want you to know, preacher, I'm not right. Something's wrong. I'm running from God." Whatever the case is, you better raise that hand. Let us pray for you. Would you raise it tonight? Let me see it. God bless you. Is there another? Let me see your hand tonight. Beloved, God's going to set your barley field on fire. I believe there's some young people tonight. God sent this message for some of you teenagers. I believe there's some mothers and dads. God sent this message on the barley field. Oh, you listen. I believe there's some folk here tonight, and you're just on the verge of saying no to God, and God's going to set your barley field on fire. Our Father, we're going to sing that last stanza tonight. Lord, there are people in Concord Baptist Church. They're running. They're rebelling. They're saying no to God. But Lord, you set that barley field on fire. Now I pray before that man back yonder. I pray before that woman back yonder. I pray before that boy or girl back yonder leaves this auditorium on this last stanza. Oh God, may they come running before you have to set that barley field on fire. Don't let a soul leave. Don't let a person go out of here. Oh God, don't let a person have his barley field aburn, but may everyone come running that hears the call of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, somebody's standing there. Your heart's beating fast. Listen to me. You can't hardly swallow. Convictions gripped your heart. You're running from God. And beloved, we're going to sing this song, the last stanza. And I trust that you'll come. It might be too late tomorrow. That old barley field may burn to the ground. While we sing, would you come? Sing the last stanza. All right, brother, while we sing, come quickly. Run out. Come on. Just as I am. Yes, I've come. Do you hear him? You better come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And cleanse, really. I tell you what I do. I'd come. Are you running from God? If you're running from God, oh yes. You say, "Brother Mays, God will set your barley field on fire." Yes, he will. You better come on down here tonight. You better come quickly. You better come quickly. Sing that last stanza again. One came. Come on. You better listen to God tonight. My friend, if God sets your barley field on fire, you'll never forget this night. If God sets your barley field on, you'll never forget this invitation.
You better come. There's a man back yonder. There's a woman back yonder. There's a young person back there. God's dealing with you tonight. You better come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Oh, Lamb of God. Oh, I come. I want you to bow your head just a moment. While they play softly, I want to say something to you. Somebody, you're standing on the most dangerous ground you've ever stood on. I mean, friend, I wouldn't be in your shoes for $1 million. You are running from God. The Holy Spirit's talked to you tonight, convicted your soul. You stood back there and let pride keep you from coming to this altar. You've said no to the call of God. You know what's going to happen? God's going to set your barley field on fire. I tell you what we're going to do. Then I'm going to turn over to Brother Sammy and we're going home. I want us to sing that last stanza with our heads bowed. I want every Christian to breathe a word of prayer. Somebody back there is making a fatal mistake. Somebody's barley field is about to catch on fire. Mister, it may be yours. Lady, it may be yours. Young girl, young boy, it may be yours tonight. You better come on this last stanza. Sing it with our heads bowed. Come quickly. We're waiting. God's waiting. The call has been given. Come on, this is the last stanza, all right? Sing it with heads bowed. This is it. This is it. Yes, it is. Oh, are you going to come? Listen, are you going to obey God tonight? You better come. That's right. My friend, listen, there are more. There's some others back there. God's speaking to. That's right. You do like this man. You come on down here. God's calling you tonight. God's calling you tonight. God's speaking to you tonight. Amen. That's right. Amen. They're coming. Yes. Come on. Listen. Listen. God's speaking tonight. God's calling tonight. You better come as quick as you can. God's speaking to people tonight. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, lady. Come on, mister. You better come before God sets your barley field on fire. You better come quickly. Yes, come on. Come on, Dad. You better step out back there. Mother, son and daughter, you better come on. Whoa, if God sets your barley field on fire. Oh, if God sets your barley field on fire. Now I want you to keep your head bowed just a moment. I want to ask you something tonight. Somebody hadn't obeyed God. Somebody back there is running. You know what God's going to do? My friend, you're going to call Brother Sammy. Are you going to call Brother Billy? Are you going to call Brother Joe? Are you going to call Brother Ronnie? You're going to call a preacher. And you know what you're going to say on that phone? You won't hardly be able to talk. You'll be crying so. You'll say, I heard Mace Jackson preach, if God sets your barley fields on fire, and preacher, mine's burning to the ground. Mine's burning to the ground. There's a young lady back there, God's going to burn your barley field. There's a young man back there, God's fixing to set your barley field. There's a dad back there, there's a mother back there, God's going to burn your barley field. Father, oh, before we sing that last stanza one more time, Lord, there's an urgency. Oh, God, there's a moving. Oh, my soul, because I believe somebody tonight, somebody's heard the call. Lord, I believe that barley field will burn to the ground. No, God, it'll be too late if they wait. But on this last stanza, may they obey God. May they come running, Lord. May they not wait, Lord. May they come running. In Jesus' name, Lord. May they come running. May they come, Lord, because God, you're speaking in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See, look this way. Sing that last stanza. Come on. Keep coming. God's speaking to you. Come on. Listen. God's going to listen to me. God is going to set your barley field on fire. Better come on. Listen. God will set that barley field on fire. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Because I believe. Are you through? Are you ready to go home? Are you through? Are you through? Are you ready to go home? Would you bow your head just a moment? Would you do that? I want to ask you something. Are you folks ready to go home? Are you running from God? Are you running from God? Now listen, you better not. You're going to go out of here tonight and God's going to set your barley field on fire. Keep coming. Just walk on out. Come on down here. We got plenty of people to pray. We got plenty of people to deal with you. We got plenty of people down here waiting for you to come. My friend, you don't have to run out of here tonight and go out yonder the blackness of this night and God set your barley field on fire. You don't have to leave here like that because God's talking to you right now. Oh, listen, it's urgent, it's urgent. My friend, I've seen too many leave a service like this. I've met too many that said, "Preacher, God set my barley field on fire after I heard you preach that sermon." Brother Mays, it never was the same after that night. It never was the same after I heard you preach it, because God set my barley field on fire. Father, oh Lord, we want to sing that last stanza one more time. God, there's somebody else. Somebody back there that's running from God. Somebody back there that says no. Oh God, break that stubborn will. Oh Spirit of God, I pray you'll tender that heart. May that mother recognize that this could be the last call. May that daddy recognize this could be the last call. May that young person realize that this is the last call, maybe tonight before the barley field burns. Oh God, speak, Lord. Move upon every heart in Concord Church right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look this way. Let's